Morning. Today's daf in Erev in Ayin Dalad. We find ourselves in Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. We're about halfway down on the Amud. We're going to start this morning with the words Amar of Yehuda. About halfway down on the Amud. We're coming off of a mission yesterday. Here we are towards the end of the sixth parak of the Erevin, introducing ourselves to Eruv V'Chatzeros relative to the Masecht. It's a longer parak. The Mishnayos here in the sixth parak instruct us in terms of how to set up Eruv Chatzeros, what to do in the event that you're living in a Chatzer with Jews, with a guy. What exactly is the protocol in terms of having the ability to be able to carry from your Rishos HaYachid, from your home, into the Chatzer. And as we learned yesterday in the Mishnah as well, not only does an Eruv allow somebody to carry from your home into the Chatzer, but similarly, your Sheet of Mavui allows you to carry from your Chatzer into your Mavui. So Mavui also is a more public area. It's enclosed. In other words, it's still a Rishos HaYachid, but nevertheless, in order to be able to carry from your Chatzer into the Mavui, so you also need a correction. You need to set up a Sheet of Mavui. Sheet of Mavui operates just like an Erev does regarding Chatzer, so too the Sheet of worked regarding Mavui. In this interplay between Erev and Sheet of, so the Mishnah yesterday told us about the need to set up both. Mishnah constructed a scenario where I have five Chatzeros, and each one of the Chatzeros are lined up in a row, and there's an opening between each one of the Chatzeros, and all of them are opened up into a Mavui. So what do you need to set up? So what you need to set up as an institution is both a Shituf and Erev. You need Shituf in order to be able to carry from your Chatzer into the Mavui, and you need Erev to carry from one Chatzer to another Chatzer. And each one of the Chatzeros need to be Ma'arev with each other's Chatzer. Good. This is what we discussed yesterday. The fact that you need both is that, as our Mishnah is subscribing to our mayor, the short answer to that question is yes. The Gemara discussed it a little bit yesterday. Half of Amud Beis of yesterday's daf dedicated itself to the question, but to succinctly answer the question, yes. Our Mishnah subscribes to Rav Meir. Rav Meir, as you recall, we learned back in Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. Rav Meir says that you can't double dip. You can't use a Shituf for both Mavui and for Chatzer. Shituf Chachamim, as we saw back in Ayin Aleph Amud Beis, is that you can. In other words, if you set up a Shituf, so that'll work both from a Mavui standpoint and it'll work from a Chatzer standpoint as well. Although, quite frankly, I am oversimplifying the Sheet of the Chachamim. Sheet of the Chachamim may not be that simple. Amoraim debate exactly what is the frame of this machlokus of Rav Meir and the Chachamim. That goes back to Ayin Aleph Amud Beis, to the top of Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. In the meantime, however, that's our mission that we discussed in yesterday's daf. This construct of five Chatzeros opened up into a Mavui and each of the Chatzeros are opened up one to another. In fact, if you look at yesterday's Mishnah, on the bottom line, Gimel Amud Aleph, the Mishnah writes, Chamesh Chatzeros Psuchos Zu Lezu Upsuchos Lamavui. The Mishnah happens to be abundantly clear in terms of what the scenario actually is, as I just described. With all that stated, it gives us now the opportunity to go ahead in the Gemara, on Gimel Amud Beis, and we're going to see that Rav had a different gears to the Mishnah. I'm Rav Yehuda. So we start off by quoting a Shitas Rav Yehuda, who is a Talmud of Rav. So I'm Rav Yehuda, Rav lo tzni psucha zulazu. So when Rav had the Mishnah, he did not have the Nusach HaMishnah of psucha zulazu. V'chenam Rav Kahana, Rav lo tzni psucha zulazu. Rav Kahana, who is another Talmud of Rav, see the Gemara towards the end of Masechta Brachos, in terms of a really unusual situation between Rav Kahana and Rav. But anyway, but Rav Kahana also being a Talmud of Rav, so he says that Rav's girsa of the Mishnah is that the Chatzeros were not opened one into another. Now, Ikadam, Rav Kahana Gufe lo tini psucha zulazu. Now, in another version, it's Rav Kahana himself who did not have this Nusach. And so, the simple question, which the Gemara now is going to be spending the balance of this Amud discussing, is why? Why is it so critical that when learning the case in the Mishnah, so the Chatzeros cannot be opened up one to the other? It's a simple question. And the Gemara now is going to discuss. The Gemara is going to present two svaras. The first one the Gemara is not going to be happy with. The second one the Gemara will be happy with. So, what are the two svaras of the Gemara? So, kasavar. So, this is the first svar of the Gemara, and that is called shitov shei machnisin amotzia derech psachim b'mavui lav shmei shitov. It's one issue is the definition of a shitov. Shitov mavui, as we already discussed, is setting up a communal food. As we already discussed just a couple days ago, first of all, in terms of the food itself, it can be constituted of any particular food. It doesn't have to be bread. A ruvei chatzeros has to be bread, but the shituf can be made up of any food. And also, we just discussed a couple days ago here in the daf that the that even if there is just simply a business partnership between the members of the Mavui, and the partnership is over the same commodity, that can even substitute as your Sheet of Mavui. But anyway, but we're now suggesting that there is a there's another regulation as it relates to a shituf, and that is that in order for the shituf to work, so it must be that when the shituf is made, it must start in the chatzar, be taken out to the mavui, and then brought back into the chatzar. Okay, not super clear in the language of the Gemara. Tosos works on that language a little bit. Fourth Tosos on the Amud. But anyway, but the shituf has to be by design has to be taken from the chatzar out to the mavui, back into the chatzar again. That's what the Gemara is suggesting. And now, if you have what we had in our Mishnah, where the chatzeros are open one to another, so that means to say that the shituf is not necessarily going to be taken out from the chatzer to the mavui. You could just simply move the shituf from one chatzer to another via the exits and entrances that exist between one chatzer and another chatzer. So what Rav is subscribing to is this idea that the shituf by definition has to be taken out into the mavui, and that's why there cannot be separate entrances from one chatzer to another chatzer. The Mishnah talks about how there is how each one of the chatzeros are mu'urav. We thought what that meant is that they made an eruv jointly, one with another. So in this pshat, as Rashi here explains, what we're going to say is that no, that when the Mishnah talks about making an Eruv, we're talking just simply about independent Eruvim for each one of the Chatzers. Okay, good. Anyway, this is what the Gemara is suggesting, Eisve. And the Gemara is not going to like it. The Gemara first quotes the Braisa, Mishnah. Ba'abai shai shutaf l'shchenav, l'zebiyayim, l'zebiyayim, ain't tzrich l'arev. Okay, good. The Mishnah we saw back in Ayin Aleph. So the Mishnah says that if we have a partnership, and the partnership is over the same commodity of wine, so there's no need to make an Eruv. Again, the word Eruv over there in that Mishnah doesn't literally mean Eruv, it means Shituf, but the, good. So you could take the business partnership and substitute it as a Shituf Mavoi. Now, the Gemara is assuming that in that partnership, what did we do? We took the wine out into the Mavoi? No, presumably the case over there is that the barrel of wine that we formed a partnership over that was sitting in one of the Chatzeros. That's what we assume. And if that's true, so then it doesn't speak to this requirement that we are suggesting right now, that by design, the shituf has to be taken out to the mavui and brought back into the chatzer. So the Gemara says, well, the Mishnah doesn't say it has to. The Mishnah also doesn't say it doesn't have to. So hasam dafke v'aile. So the Gemara says, look, we'll just give a suggestion. Maybe the Mishnah requires it, even though it doesn't say so. Okay, and as Rashi over here admits, it's a bit of a forced answer. The Mishnah doesn't say it, and if it's a requirement, so then the Mishnah probably should have said it, but right now we're defending the suggestion. So the Gemara says it could be. The Gemara says, Eisvei, another question. I know it's in parentheses. Keitz the Mishatvim b'mavui. So how do you make a shituf b'mavui? So, and this is a Mishnah that's coming up later in the next perek. So the Mishnah over there talks about the basic construct of a shituf and a basic construct of an eruv. And over there, there's no mention that the shituf has to necessarily be brought out to the mavui and brought back into the chatzer. So hasam nami dafke vayle. So again, the Gemara, in a bit of a forced answer, the Gemara says, yeah, well, we could say the same thing about that Mishnah over there. So maskev la rava bar chanan el miata hikna la pas besalom. So hachinami de la havi shitav. So the Gemara says, well, what? Let's say you make a kinyan for others for bread. In other words, you're eating bread and Shabbos is approaching. And so what you do is you're mezaka ayidei acher. You make a kinyan for everyone else living in this mavui with some of the bread that you're eating in order to create a shituf. Now, you're telling me that that's not going to work because you're telling me that the only way the shituf works is if we take the bread, march it out to the mavui, and march it back into the chatzer. And avichite machanam, the Gemara says, okay, but do you have evidence otherwise? Maybe that's true. So the Gemara says, v'am rav yuram rav, the Gemara says, but I know otherwise. The Gemara says, yes, I do have evidence otherwise, and that is a statement that was said by none other than Rav. And that is B'nei Chabur, Shayim Mesubim. So let's say you have a group of people, V'kiddush Aleim Hayom, and they're eating on a Friday afternoon. Okay, if you're familiar with the 10th parak of Psachim, so one of the more unusual parts, it's kind of like the unspoken part of the beginning of that parak, is that you have a number of Tanayim who are eating a Seud on Friday afternoon. Okay, it's a bit of an oddity because obviously you don't want to be eating on Friday afternoon. You do want to have an appetite for a Friday night meal. Okay, but it's an observation. But anyway, but over here, same. you have a group of people who work Friday afternoon and they're sitting down, they're eating and they're having bread. And Shayim Subim Vikidish Alema Yomu Pasha Al Shochan Samchem Amalem Shomeruv. So now there's bread on the table, and lo and behold, we're now remembering as we're having a meal on Friday afternoon, oh, nobody set up the Eruv. Okay, no problem. Meaning we have bread right here on the table, and the bread right here on the table. So I'm going to do Ziku Ayide Acher, and Zachan La'adam Shalom B'fanav. I'll make a kinyon for everyone here in the Chatzer, so that this bread now can be our Eruv. Now, this has to be before Shabbos, because as we already established, you can't set up the Eruv on Shabbos itself. Even during Bein HaShemashos, you can't set up an Eruv. So obviously we're talking about it's before Shabbos. But you can do this. Now, V'amar la'mishum shitov. Now, in another version of this same halacha that is said over in the name of Rav, not only can you do this for an Eruv Chatzar, but you can also do this for a shitov mavui as well. V'amar Rav lo pligi. And Rav says the truth of the matter is that there's no debate over here. Meaning both are correct. Kan b'mesubim b'bayis, kan b'mesubim b'chatzar. It just happens to be, as we already pointed out numerous times, and we get to learn this again, that the depository of where we're going to put the Erev Chatzir is going to be in somebody's home, because again, the Erev Chatzir is creating Dira, so therefore has to go into somebody's house, and the depository for an Sheet of Mavu is going to be the Chatzir, which is just there for the purpose of unification, and so therefore you just simply put in the Chatzir. So the Gemara says, both statements are true. If we're eating in a house and we forgot to make Eruv and it's Friday afternoon and I have bread right in front of me, so then I can make mezaka ide acher and make the Eruv with the bread. If we happen to be eating out in the courtyard and we forgot about the sheet of mavui, so we could use the bread for sheet of mavui. Now, in the circumstance that we're just describing, so over here, are we taking the bread, bringing out to the mavui, bringing it back into the chatzar? The answer is no. And this is not a mishnah, it's not a brisa, it's a statement made by Rav. So the assumption over here is that the bread is in the chatzar and the bread is remaining in the chatzar, and there is no requirement to take the bread, move it out to the mavui, and move it back into the chatzar. So the Gemara now at this point in time is abandoned ship. Meaning, we now know, here's what we know, that Rav in the Mishnah had the Girsa, had the Nusach HaMishnah, where the chatzars were not open one to another. We at this point in time are trying to understand why. Why is Rav necessarily saying, that the Mishnah has the chatzeres where they are closed to one another. That's the case of the Mishnah. So why? And so at this point in time, we threw out a svara. The Gemara threw out a svara, but the Gemara doesn't particularly like it. So the Gemara now is going to go with another svara. So Ella, the Gemara says, is we are now towards the bottom of Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. So Ella, time of the Rav, the Kasavre Imavu Nita Balech Vekara Ashiu Batim Vechatzeres Psuchim Lesocho. So the Gemara says something that we already heard once earlier in the Masechta. We also learned this back in Masechta Shabbos as well in the 19th Perek. And that is the idea that what is the definition of a Mavui? The definition of a Mavui is that the base minimum of a Mavui is that it has to have two chatzeres, two separate chatzeres opening into the Mavui. Each of those chatzeres have to have two houses opening into that chatzer. That is the base definition of a Mavui. Why do I need base definitions of a Mavui? So the answer is very simple, because we have a tremendous kula as it relates to a Mavui. Once a Mavui is given the status of a Mavui, so you have an opening where it's open totally on one side, and it's opening up into Rishus Rabim. Had it been a Chatzir, what do you have to do? You have to put a significant wall on the fourth side. You don't have to close the entire fourth side, but you need pas. You need a good segment of wall on that fourth side. Either a pas on both sides, or dalat fachim of pas, but anyway, you need a good amount of wall to close off that fourth side. But if it's a mavui, so what can you do? So we go back to our first and second parak of our masechta, and what you could do is lechi v'korah, lechi o korah. Either put the thinnest beam, vertical pole on the side of the mavui, or just put a simple beam going across the top. And that's all you need to do. But you can only do that if this is called a mavui. Well, when is it called a mavui? We just learned together. According to Rav, it's called a mavui when you have minimum two chatzeres open up to it, and each of the chatzeres has two of the houses open up to it. So the Gemara says, now I get it. You see, if the chatzeres are open one to another, so then, and the chatzeres made an eruv one with another, so then those five chatzeres that are open one to another, what are they? They're not five chatzeres. They're only one chatzer. Okay, so vis-a-vis chatzeres, so fine. But then the problem is that when it opens up into a mavui, that may look like a mavui, but it's not a mavui. Because a mavui, by definition, needs two separate chatzeres opening up into it. That's why when Rav learns the Mishnah clearly is talking about a bona fide mavui. A mavui with the status of a mavui. So by definition, it has to have at least two separate chatziras open up into it. And if our chatziras are open one to another, so they are not two, but halachically they're viewed as one. That's the pshat in the Mishnah. That's why Rav does not have the nusach ha-Mishnah, the girsah of the Mishnah, of psucha zulazu. Good. The Gemara settles on that svara. The Gemara holds of it. Gufa. And now, as we're on the bottom of Ein Gimel Medbeis, ready to start it off today, so now the Gemara is going to continue in this discussion. We have just learned together that as it relates to the definition of a mavui, so we just learned Shitas Rav. And now what we're going to be learning over the course of the Amud Aleph of today's daf, going well into the Amud Beis, it's going to be basically take up most of our daf today, and that is that Rav is not the only Shita on this matter. There are going to be two other Shitas that we're going to learn together, the Shita of Shmuel and the Shita of Rav Yochanan, in terms of what is the definition, what's the base minimum requirement in order for a mavui to be called a mavui. And again, the key component of why you want to call it a mavui is because then and only then do we have the heter of Lechin Korah. If we can't call it a mavui, and it's open totally on the fourth side, and it's not a mavui, so then it defaults to being a chatzer. And as a chatzer, so for that fourth side, you have to put on a good amount of wall. In other words, Lechin Korah is simply not going to be enough. But once it's a mavui, so then you can put on a Lechin Korah. So when do we get to call it a mavui? So Gufa, we get to go back. So first we're going to review the Shita of Rav, Amar Rav, Ein Mavui Nitar, but Lechiv Karachu, Batim Vechatzeres Pesuchim L'Sochal. So it's not going to be a Mavui, and will not be given the status, the designation of a Mavui, where you have a Heter of either Lechiv Karachu until you have two separate Chatzeres, now we can add that word in, because that's basically what we just established. Two separate Chatzeres opened up into this Mavui, and each of those Chatzeres have minimum two houses opening up into each of the Chatzeres. That is Shitas Rav. Now, by the way, the halacha does follow like Rav, right? It's a little early to give that away, but generally speaking, a machlok is between Rav and Shmuel. So when it comes to Issa, we're going to pass like Rav, not like Shmuel. By Shmuel, we pass like him by Mamanus. But over here, this is an issue of Issa v'Heter. Even though, by the way, Rav is going to represent, of the Shitas that we're going to see together, he's going to represent the most Machmer Shita. So, right, so I guess you could make an argument in terms of why the halacha shouldn't be like Rav, but the halacha is like Rav. So let's just say it now. What's the svar behind Rav? Why does a mavui need two chatzeros open up to it, and each of the chatzeros have two houses open up to it? So the Rishonim say it. I'm quoting the Mishnah Berurah, who brings it down, but the Rishonim already say it. And the basic idea is as follows. Mishnah Berurah can be found in Siman Shin Samach Gimel. So, but it's a Mishnah Berurah over there. The Mishnah Berurah brings down that basically the reason is that what makes a mavui distinct from a chatzer is the traffic that it has, meaning that it's a public area. Now, I'm just trying to use those words carefully because it's not a Rishus HaRabim. It's a Rishus HaYach. It's an enclosed area. But in terms of usages, in terms of traffic, so what do you have? You have a lot of people going into it. So oddly enough, it's a bit of an irony, but the svara is that because there's more people making usage of it, and it's not so much a private area, it's a more public area. Again, Rishus HaYachid, everything here is a Rishus HaYachid. But because it's a more public area, so therefore, people do not use it for private purposes. It's not like your chatzir, which is an enclosed courtyard that exists for a number of houses. That's a more private area with more private usages. And so therefore, since it is used by it's used in a more public venue, so therefore its tikkun does not need to be so much, right? It's a bit of an irony. But because its usages are going to be more public in nature, so therefore it's not going to be used as much, and so therefore its tikkun is this flimsy, either Lechi or Korah. On the other hand, when you have a Chatzer, where its usages are going to be much more used by the owners of the home, so there, it has to be more enclosed, and you need more enclosure on that fourth wall. Okay, that's the svar that's offered by the Rishonim. Again, the Mishnah Berurah brings it down. So that's, and so, how do I make our Mavi into a more public area? So good. So traffic, and traffic obviously is going to be created when I have two separate chatzeres that are filtering, that are spilling out into this mavui, and each of the chatzeres has two homes. That's a svar behind the Shita of Rav. Anyway, we continue in the Gemara. We're 9 Dalam and Aleph, and we're going to now introduce ourselves to two other shitas on this matter. Shmuel Amar Afilu Ba'isecha V'Chatzer Achas. So Shmuel's of the position that if, let's say, you have a mavoi, on one side it's flanked by a house, only by a house. On the other side it's flanked by a chatzer. Now the chatzer is going to have a house connected to the chatzer. Rashi here points that out. You're not going to have the chatzer without a house. But the but in other words, Shmuel is not as demanding as Rav. Rav says that you need two separate chatzers to open up into the mavoi. Shmuel says no. On one side you have a house, on the other side you have a chatzer. That's going to be enough. And Rav Yochanan Amar, and Rav Yochanan's of the opinion, afilu churva, that it can even be a churva, which means that, let's say, on one side, you have not even a occupied home. You have a deserted home on one side. That's the churva. On the other side, you have a chatzer. Meaning, again, Rashi over here points this out. You still need it to be flanked. But what does it need to be flanked by? So according to Rav Yochanan, the threshold is the lowest. On one side, it could just simply be a dilapidated house, an unoccupied home. On the other side, you have a chutzner with a house. That, too, is going to be enough. Now, I'm a Leah by the Rav Yosef. I'm Rav Yochanan. I feel a bishvil shel kramim. Let's try to take Rav Yochanan out to the extreme. Let's say on one side of the mavoi, it's not even a home. It's just a garden. So it's a vineyard. So is that going to be enough? So I'm a Leah. Lo, I'm a Rav Yochanan. Ela b'chorva dechazil adira. Aval shvil shel kramim delo chazil adira lo. So Rav Yosef says to Abaye, no, that there you pushed it out too far. Meaning it does have to be flanked, and yes, it's true according to Rav Yochanan. On one side it's an unoccupied home, it's a dilapidated home, but at least it's ra'i ladira. It's fit to be lived in. At least that's the base minimum of what you need on one side for Rav Yochanan. On the other side, you need a bona fide chatzar and a home. On the other side, however, it could be a churva, but don't take it beyond a churva. It has to be something that at least potentially is residential. Continuing in the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna Bar Chinan of Azdar Rav Yochanan Tame. And now the Gemara points out, this is Rav Yochanan being consistent with another shita of Rav Yochanan. And that is the following. Did not we learn in the Mishnah? Now, this Mishnah we've seen already numerous times. We saw it earlier in our Masechta. It's coming up later in the Masechta as well. We also quoted this Mishnah also in the 19th Perek of Shabbos. Right, Reb Elazar Demila, where we had a lot of Erevin issues over there. But anyway, the Mishnah goes as follows. So Rabbi Shimon Omer, or the way the Gemara here quotes it, I'm Rabbi Shimon. Echa gagos ve'echa karfifos ve'echa chetzeros v'shus achas hein lekelem sheshavta l'sochan v'lo lekelem sheshavta b'tzocha bayit. So first, just a basic understanding of the Mishnah, Shitas Rabbi Shimon. Shitas Rabbi Shimon is that what you can do on Shabbos is that even in the absence of an Eruv, if you have an item that started in the chatzer, so what you could do with this item on Shabbos is carry it throughout the chatzer, okay? You don't need Rabbi Shimon for that, meaning the chatzer is an enclosed area. It's a reshus ha'yachid. So you can carry it within the chatzer. Now we get to Shitas Rabbi Shimon. I can carry it to a contiguous chatzer, even though no Eruv was made between one chatzer and the next chatzer. And I can keep doing that. I can carry it from a chatzer to a gag, to a rooftop, which is enclosed. Or I can carry it from a chatzer to a karpuf, to a backyard, which is enclosed. And as long as I have these enclosed areas, which are not primary residential areas, meaning they're not homes. So according to Rabbi Shimon, I can take an item and carry it from one chatzer to another without Eruv, from one chatzer to a gag without Eruv. This is what Rabbi Shimon would allow. But only for kelim that start off in the chatzer. According to Rabbi Shimon, what you can't do is you can't take an item from a home to the chatzer and then move it from one chatzer to another. It only works, this heter Rabbi Shimon only works for anything that started Shabbos in the chatzer. He basically he looks at contiguous chatzeros as not separate entities, but basically as one entity. Because the chatzer unit is basically one chatzer. Okay, that shitas Rabbi Shimon. Now, on this halacha of Rabbi Shimon, so there's going to be a debate amongst the Amoraim. The Amarav halacha Rabbi Shimon. So first Rav says that's the halacha. V'hu shlo irvu aval irvu gazrin dom asu lafuke mani debatim lechatzer. Now Rav says, now on one hand I do paskin like Rabbi Shimon. On the other hand, I'm limiting the scope of Rabbi Shimon. Shitas Rabbi Shimon is only when this particular chatzer did not have an Erev made in it. Meaning the homes of this chatzer were not ma'arev. However, if the homes of this chatzer were mu'urav, so now I can't carry from the chatzer to a contiguous chatzer. Why? So as Rashi over here explains, I mean the Gemara basically says it, but as Rashi over here explains, because if we made an Erev in this chatzer, so then there's nothing that would impede somebody from taking something from his home into the chatzer. Now, if somebody took an item from his home to his chatzer, so then what would be the next step? Well, if I subscribe to Rabbi Shimon, what I would then do is then I would carry that item from one chatzer to another chatzer. Yeah, but that you're not allowed to do. Meaning the sheet of Rabbi Shimon is that you can only take from one chatzer to another only items that started in the chatzer in Shabbos. Oh, so Rav is concerned about the fact that if we made an Eruv in our chatzer, so and nobody now is going to be prevented from taking their item from the home to the chatzer, so then on Shabbos the concern would be that subsequently it's going to be moved from this chatzer to the next chatzer. That is Rav's limitation of Rabbi Shimon. Ushmol amar bein irvu bein lo irvu. And Shmuel says, no, it doesn't matter. Meaning, and mind you, by the way, Shmuel's not disagreeing with Rav. And in other words, in Achinami, if you were to take an item from your house into the chatzer, so you can't bring it over to another chatzer. What Shmuel's just simply saying is, I don't think there needs to be gzeira. I'm not worried. People know that, let's go back to a time when the assumption is people know that you can, this allowance of Rabbi Shimon is only for items that started off in the chatzer. V'cheinam Rav Yochanan, halachik Rabbi Shimon, bein irvu ubein lo irvu. And on this issue, Rav Yochanan agrees with Shmuel that the halacha of Rabbi Shimon would apply even in a scenario where this particular chatzer made an eruv. In other words, it was mu'urav. Still, we're not worried. So, Alma, what do you see now? Lo gazrina d'masa lafuki mani d'batim l'chatzer. So you see that Rav Yochanan does not have this concern. He's not worried that someone's going to bring an item from his house into the chatzer, which you're allowed to do with once the eruv is set up, and then subsequently he's going to forget, and he's going to now carry this item from one chatzer to another chatzer, where the two chatzeros themselves were not mu'urav. He's not worried about that. So you see that Rav Yochanan is not concerned about that. Hachanami lo gazrinan dilma asilafuke mani de chatzer lechurva. Now over here, when I have my mavui and it's flanked, and what is it flanked by? On one side you have a chatzer home. On the other side you have a churva. Now what can come out from this is the following. Maybe we should be worried about the fact that if let's say we made a shituf, and no shituf was made. But let's say somebody then were to carry an item from the home to the mavui, and then, well, if I should say better, from the chatzer to the mavui, and then he'll say to himself, well, look, if I'm carrying it from one chatzer to a mavui, maybe then I'll just simply carry it from the mavui to the chorva. So maybe we should be concerned about that. So you see that Rav Yochanan does not have those general concerns. Okay, so this is now the Gemara noting that that Rav Yochanan has a consistency. Just like in the halacha of Rabbi Shimon, he does not limit this halacha to only chatzeros without an Eruv. He extends it even to chatzeros with an Eruv. So he's not worried that people are going to take their items from the home into the chatzer and then subsequently from one chatzer to another. Similarly over here, he's not worried that a person is going to take an item from one chatzer to the mavui and then from the mavui into the churva, which you're not allowed to do. Okay, so Yosef Rabbeinu v'kamen l'hashmaita amalei Rav Elazar bar Bei Rav. So now we're going over our sugya. Now our sugya meaning, what's the definition of a mavui? And as we just learned together, machlokus between Rav, Shmuel, and Rav Yochanan. Rav says, a mavui needs minimum two chatzeres. Each chatzer needs two homes. Shita Shmuel is that you have a chatzer on one side and a home on the other side. Shita's Rav Yochanan is that I need a chatzer on one side, and again, when I say chatzer, I mean there's a house attached to it. I have a chatzer on one side and a churva on the other side, and that would be good enough. So Yosef Rabbeinu v'kamalash ma'ita amalei Rav Elazar bar Bei Rav. So Rabbeinu was going over this, and Rav Elazar bar Bei Rav says to him, "Amr Shmuel Hachi, like is Shmuel really say this? Meaning, are you sure about this?" So amalei in, he says, "Yeah, I'm sure Shmuel says this." So amalei achvelei ushbizei. So he says, "Could you show me where Shmuel's staying?" Meaning, I got to ask him myself. So achvelei, okay, good. So they have the luxury, they had the opportunity of going asking Shmuel himself. So also coming to Shmuel, Amarlei Amar Mar Hachi. And so now, a pointed question. So they turn to Shmuel and says, did you really say this? So Amarlei in. So Shmuel says, yeah, I said it. So Vaham Marhu Da Amar Ein Lana Be'ervin Ela Kalosha Mishnasenu. He says, wait 1 second. So, and this is now the second time in this Masechta that we're going over this. He says, you know, when it comes to Erevin, so you have to be exacting in the language of the Mishnah. Now, we always are exacting in the language of the Mishnah, meaning I don't want to give a percentage because I'm going to make up a stat, But we know that a good percentage of Gemara is being medayik in the lashon of the Mishnah. So the idea that we have to be exacting in the language of the Mishnah is not a novel idea to Erevin, but specific to a Mishnah, to one Mishnah in Erevin. So we have a tradition that you have to be super exacting in the language of the Mishnah. And which Mishnah are we talking about? Shamav lechatzeros kechatzel labatim. So it's a Mishnah that we saw earlier, that the mavu is to chatzeros as chatzer is to batim. By the way, when I say earlier, I go back to yesterday's daf. It's the Mishnah that we saw on yesterday's daf on the top of Ein Gimel Amud Beis. Good. So now, when you read that Mishnah, so what is that telling you? It's telling you that a Mavui has a minimum of two chatzeros, meaning the language of chatzer is in plural. And we assume the base minimum of a plural is two. And a chatzer has houses. Now, mind you, by the way, that contextually, you look back in yesterday's daf, you look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah is not telling us what the definition of a Mavui is, but that's exactly the point. But you still have to be precise in the way the Mishnah expresses itself. And the Mishnah is talking about a Mavui flanked by two courtyards, and each of the courtyards being flanked by two homes. There you have it. It's the Mishnah, and you have to be exacting in the Mishnah. And so therefore, how can you tell me that the base minimum requirement of a Mavui is a chatzar and home on one side and a house on the other side? What about the Mishnah? And what about this tradition that's specific to that Mishnah? You have to be exacting. So that was the question, the pointed question that was asked directly to Shmuel. Now Shmuel's response, ishtik. So he was quiet. Okay. And now with that silence, so what does that mean? It means that he didn't want to bother with the question. He means that the question was really strong and he didn't have an answer to the question. And so the conversation ended awkwardly, and with the awkward ending to the conversation, so the Gemara now wants to know, kibla mine o lo kibla mine. So what was Shmuel's response? Did he accept the question? Did he just not, he didn't feel it was a strong question? Meaning, where does Shmuel stand now after being directly asked this question and not having a response? So where's Shmuel holding on this? So Tashma. So the Gemara says, well, I think I know where Shmuel's holding on it. In other words, there's no deduction that can be made by silence, but we do have a story. We have an episode. So there was a Mavui, and so a particular person lived in this Mavui, and Avile Lechaya Vishar Le Shmuel. Now, in this Mavui, so as we're going to learn in just a moment, on one side there was a chatzar, on the other side it was just a home, and Shmuel's, for the Mavui that was central, so they set up a Lechi, meaning it received the status of being a Mavui. Good. And now, Vishar Le Shmuel. And they turned to Shmuel and they said, are you ready to give Ashkacha to this Mavui? And Shmuel says, yeah, it's good. Checks out. Now, also Rav Anan Shajay. Now, Rav Anan comes along, and Rashi over here says it was after Shmuel died. Okay, it would be a direct affront to Shmuel if he did it while Shmuel was alive. Okay, it's an indirect affront, the fact that he did it after he died, but he did it. And that is, he threw away the Lechi. In other words, he felt that this is not a Mavui, and so therefore its correction cannot be done simply by a Lechi, and so he threw it away. So Amar, so now the owner of this Mavui, the occupier of this Mavui, that is Ivus Bar-Ihi, so he looks at him and he says, what are you doing? Mevoa de Dairana Bey, Vasina Mishmei de Mar Shmuel, Nesi Rav Anan Barav Nishtei Aman. And what are you doing? You're throwing away the Lechi of a Mavui that the Hashkacha was given to it by none other than Shmuel himself? Like, what's going on over here? So, Shvaminalo Kibla Minei. Okay, so what do you get from the story? So what you get from the story is actually pretty straightforward, in that if Shmuel's giving a Hashkacha to this Mavui, and the Mavui is flanked on one side by a Chatzar and another side by the house, so that means to say that Shmuel, despite the fact that he was challenged, so Shmuel, to the end of his life, was of the position that this is a Mavui. And so therefore it's Nitar B'Lechi V'Korah. And you can either put on a vertical pole or horizontal beam, and that would be good. And that would be correction for the Mavui. Okay, good. So it seems like case closed, in that Shmuel did maintain his position for the balance of his life. And the Gemara says, La'olam emelecha kibla mine. The Gemara says, I don't know, not necessarily. It could very well be that Shmuel did in fact change his position. So, and it could very well be that as far as the shamish, the gabbai of the shul, right? Back in the Gemara, there he was called the Chazan, right? Our Chazanim are just the Balei Tefila. I mean, just. But the but in the Bizmana Gemara, so the Chazan was the he was full service. He did all the shamish activities of the shul. And we have a particular Chazan, and now where he would eat, so he would eat in the house. And in terms of where he would sleep, that's the word bias. Bias throughout the Gemara, throughout Chas, is reference to sleeping. And where would he sleep? He would sleep in the shul. And the shul was on the other side of the Mavoi. Now the Avas Bar E Savra Makum Pisa Gorem. Now, as far as Avas Bar E was concerned, so he thought, so what establishes Makum Dira? So hopefully you remember, we just finished discussing this a couple days ago in the Daf, in terms of what establishes Makum Dira. That's the Gemara that started on the bottom of Ayin Beis Amud Beis. So, and it's a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Now, Shmuel happens to be of the opinion that what establishes Makum Dira is where you sleep, not where you eat. And Ivas Bar Ihi, he didn't think so. In other words, he thought that what establishes Makum Dira is Makum Pisa, is where you are eating your bread, your pas. So, and so therefore, so he was of the position that because the eating that was done was in the home, not in the shul, so therefore the home is what establishes residence. And this is Shmuel Atame, this is Shmuel being consistent with his reasoning. The Amra Makum Lina Gorim, and Shmuel says that the Makum Lina is going to be the Gorim. So what comes out over here is that when Shmuel assessed this Mavui, and he looked at the shul, and because the shamash slept in the shul, so now Shmuel counted the shmuel as the makom dira that was on the other side. That's why Shmuel felt that this mavui could register as a mavui, because the shul now turns into a makom dira. And so, and again, let's assume now that we have a chatzar, two separate chatzaros. Each one of them opened up into two homes, and one of the homes was the shul that he slept in. Shmuel counted it because Shmuel is shitaso, was of the opinion that where you sleep is your makom dira. So that all factored into Shmuel's psak and the hashkacha and the allowance for the mavui to be called a mavui. But the owner or the occupier of the mavui didn't understand that, and that's what happened over there. But the Gemara says, but it could very well be that Shmuel did in fact change his position regarding the definition of a mavui once he was presented the information that when you read that Mishnah, the Mishnah of yesterday's daf, you have to be exacting in the Mishnah. Okay, so where do we leave ourselves off? So Ad Kan, that's the end of the end of our sugya. And where we just left ourselves off is, we know certainly what Rav's position is in terms of the definition of a mavui, two separate chatzeres, each chatzer having two homes. We also saw earlier the shita of Shmuel and the shita of Rav Yochanan, and Shmuel may have done an about face on his shita. Shmuel said that you have a chatzer and a house on one side, and you have just a home on the other side, so the mavui that's central is going to be a mavui. That's Shita Shmuel. Maybe Shmuel recanted on his position. We leave that off as an open-ended question. And then finally, there was a Shita of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan was even the most mekel. And he said that a mavui, to obtain the status of a mavui, so you need a chatzer and home on one side, and the other side, you don't even need an occupied home. Even if it's an unoccupied home, a dilapidated home, it's a chorva, that in of itself would be enough so that this mavui now is in fact going to be considered a mavui. Okay, Ad Kan. That takes us to the end of our first sugya, and let's continue. We are now on Ein Dalmud Beis. We're at the two dots in the middle of the Amud, of a short Amud, and we continue Amar Rabbi Yudah Rav. Another halacha that's said over in the name of Rav, and that is mavui she shetzido echad ove kocham ve'tzido acher Yisrael. So let's say I have a mavui and it's flanked. And if you want to see this, you can actually, even if you just have a standard Gemara, you can see this on the side, right over here, a fantastic picture, where I have the central mavui, and on one side, I know it's not centered, but, and on one side I have non-Jews living, it's a chatzer, and there are non-Jews living within that chatzer on one side of the mavui, and on the other side, what do I have? So I have only one home that's actually flanking the mavui. Now, there happens to be a couple of other homes, but those other homes are opening up into this home, meaning they are not actually flanking the mavui. Okay, you can see the picture. And it also happens to be that these other homes have other egresses, meaning they're able to get out into the Rishus HaRabim. Now, over here, the Gemara describes that the openings, the Gemara will describe in just a moment, that the openings of these other homes that go into the chatzir, so the other homes that go into the home that go into the chatzir, so they have windows. But windows over here just simply mean openings. Okay, so they're just ways of accessing. So under these circumstances, so sorry for fumbling a little bit in terms of describing, but if you're looking at the picture, so you get a good picture of what it is. So now what's the halacha? Ein ma'arvin oso derech halonos lahatiro derech psachim lamavoi. So what you cannot do is you cannot make an eruv via the windows in order to allow the mavoi. Meaning basically what we're not going to say is the following. That what do I have over here? I have a mavoi on one side flanked by a chatzar of a non-Jew, on the other side flanked by a home of a Jew, and that home now also has other homes opening up into this home. So the halach of Rav is not eligible for a shituf, not eligible for an eruv. Now, Amalei Abaye LeRav Yosef, Amar Rav Afilu Bechatzer. Now, I said it's not eligible for a mavoi, not eligible for an eruv. Now, I jumped the gun, meaning the statement of Rav is that it's not eligible for a shituf, meaning the mavoi is not a mavoi. Okay, that's what we know. What the Gemara now wants to know is, would Rav say the same thing if we had the same scenario by a chatzer? Samarlay in. So the answer is, yeah, Rav would have said the same thing. So, di'ilo amar, my havamina. Now, you thought, by asking the question, that there's some difference between a mavui and a chatzer. Meaning if I have the same construct, but instead of what is in the center as a mavui, so what would be in the center is a chatzer, so you thought there'd be a difference. There is no difference, right? And in a moment, we're going to see why there's no difference. But there is no difference, but you thought there'd be a difference. So you, what did you think? Meaning, why do you think that was a good question? So time of the Rabbi Shem Dekas Arvei Mavu Niter Belech Lekora Achi Ubatim Echatzeros Psuchon Lesochom. You probably thought that this was a halacha specific to Mavui. And which halacha? The halacha that we start off our daf with. The halacha that, according to Rav, a Mavui is only a Mavui when it's flanked by a chatzar on each side and each chatzar having two homes open to it. And, Vitarti lamali tricha. So the Gemara says, and I need two, and the reason why I need two is for the following reason. Because if all I had was the case in which you just cited, havamina dira sovikochav mishma dira. So here's what I would have thought. You see, in the case that we just laid out, so on one side of the mavui you have the home of Jews. Only one home of a Jew is opened up into the mavui. But you have a bunch of homes. And on the other side, what do you have? You have non-Jews. And so what you would have argued is, yeah, you know why in that case it's not a mavui? Because like we discussed in the beginning of this perek, diras ovekochavim, I'm sorry, unlike what we discussed in the beginning of this perek, so I would have thought maybe that diras ovekochavim is considered a dira. Now you remember that in the beginning of this perek, our conclusion was that diras ovekochavim is not considered a dira. But again, in terms of what you may have thought that diras ovekochavim is considered a dira. And so therefore, had Rav not taught me the halacha over here, I would have thought, so good, this mavui now checks out. On one side you have Jewish homes, on the other side you have non-Jewish homes. Non-Jewish homes qualify as a home, as a residence. And so therefore, had Rav not said the halacha over here, that's what I would have thought. Okay, so over here, here's what we're learning together. We're learning that the dira of an Ovei Kochavim is not considered a dira. And so therefore, the chatzer of the Ovei Kochavim that's on the other side of this mavui does not qualify. In other words, it doesn't count towards the base minimum number of homes that need to open up into a mavui. Good. Which is, by the way, what we conclude in the beginning of this parak. So, the ime hacha hava mina lo yadana batim kama. And if I only had this particular halacha that was said, meaning our case over here, and I didn't learn the other halacha of Rav, notably the one that started off our daf this morning, that a mavui needs two separate chaseros, each chaser having two homes open to it. If he wouldn't have said that, kamash malan, so I'm sorry, I wouldn't have known how many homes. Meaning Rav has to clearly articulate that yes, a mavui needs to be flanked, but flanked by what? So what Rav needs to go out of his way to teach us is two separate chaseros, each chatzar having two homes opened up to it. So kamash malan, batin, train. So that's what Rav comes to teach us, that each chatzar has to have a minimum of two homes. So Hashadam Rava Filu Chatzer. Good. So that entire discussion was assuming that there is a difference between Mavui and Chatzer. And then you were wondering, well, why did Rav need to repeat himself? And we just went through why Rav needed to repeat himself. That's all assuming that this was a Mavui halacha. But it's not a Mavui halacha. It's not specific to Mavui. It's true by Mavui, and it's true by Chatzer as well. So the Gemara says, Afilu Chatzer time of the Rav de Kasavar, Asher Lasos, Yachid b'makom Mavui kochavim. And over here, the reason is totally different. The reason is that here's what you can't do. The Chachamim do not want a residence established where on one side of the Chatzer you have a Jew, on the other side of the Chatzer you have a non-Jew. The Chachamim don't want that. They want to discourage that. So discouragement would come in the form of you can't make a shituf. You can't make an eruv. So if it's just one Jew and one non-Jew, because the Chachamim really want to discourage that kind of residence, so therefore they disallowed the formation of a shituf, they disallowed the formation of an eruv. That's it. That's the halacha of Rav over here, having nothing to do with the parameters of a mavui. That's a separate issue, which we already discussed this morning. Over here, it's a separate issue, an issue of the Chachamim not wanting this kind of residence. And the Gemara just finishes up on this topic. So, Amar Rav Yosef, Yihachi Hainu Deshamein Lei, Lerebi Tavla. So Rav Yosef says, oh, now I understand. Meaning I was hearing over a halacha by Rebbe Tavla, Da'amar Ovi Kochav, Ovi Kochav, Trey Zimne, V'lo Yadana Mayomer. And he was saying a halacha, and he repeated the words Ovi Kochavim, and I didn't understand what he was talking about. But now that I just heard over this halacha and the explanation of this halacha, so now I understand. Meaning, Ovi Kochavim one time is to tell me that if it's one Jew and one non-Jew flanking a mavui, no good. And you can't make a shituf. And if I have, and the second time is that it's not only true by a mavui, it's also true by a chatzar as well. If I have a chatzar where on one side I have a Jew and the other side I have a non-Jew, and even though, right, and by the way, if it's just one-on-one, so then, as we learned in the beginning of the parak, there's no need for an Eruv. But, I also have on the, contiguous to the home of the Jew, I have homes of other Jews that are opened up into this home, and now there is an Eruv opportunity, but if the Chatzer is flanked only by, on one side, a non-Jew, and the other side of a Jew, so there too the Chachamim discouraged it. And banned and prohibited the making of an Erev because they didn't want that kind of setup. Okay, so that's why Ovi Kochavim two times. Rabbi Tavla says, now I understand. Now I get it. Now the double language makes sense to me. Okay, Adkan takes us to the Mishnah. Let's quickly recap. We finished off yesterday's daf. We went over that Rav had a different Nusach HaMishnah. Where Rav's Nusach HaMishnah is that the five chatzeres that are opened up into the mavui do not have openings one to another. And the Gemara tried to formulate a reason why. Why did Rav necessarily hold to that? And the answer is because, well, there were two answers that were provided. The first one, the Gemara suggested, but then rescinded, which is that in order for a shituf to be a good shituf, it has to be marched out into the mavui and then marched back into the chatzer. The Gemara ended up rejecting that. The Gemara ended up concluding that no, that it's a function of the definition of a mavui. In order for a mavui to be a mavui, so you need to have two separate chatzeres, and they have to be separate. Two separate chatzeres, and each chatzer having two homes opening up to it. That was number one. That was the finishing of the conclusion of yesterday's daf. The bulk of today's daf is the definition of mavui, reiterating the position of Rav, and then also introducing us to the opinions of both Shmuel and Rav Yochanan. Shmuel's more makel than Rav, and Rav Yochanan is even more makel than that. And then a subsequent discussion in terms of Shmuel actually wanting to hear firsthand from Shmuel. Was he really that lenient? And the answer was yes. A direct and pointed question to Shmuel. Is it okay for a mavui to have on one side a chatzar, on the other side just a home? And Shmuel said, yeah. And then a pointed question to Shmuel, and that is, what about the Mishnah? Yesterday's daf and the requirement to be exacting in the words of the Mishnah. And the Mishnah is telling us that for a mavui to be a mavui, it has to be flanked by chatzeres, it also has to be flanked. Each of the chatzeres have to be flanked with homes. What are you going to do with that Mishnah? Shmuel didn't know what to do with that Mishnah. And his response to the question was silence. And what did that silence mean? Acquiescence? Did it mean he just didn't want to deal with the question? The Gemara entertained that as well. We did not come out with a conclusion from that discussion in terms of where Shmuel landed on this issue. And finally, we conclude our daf today with another halacha by Rav. And that is that if I have a chatzar and it's flanked on one side by a Jew and another side a non-Jew, and it doesn't matter if whether it's a chatzar, well, it doesn't matter whether it's a mavui, so there is a disallowance of not making an eruv for a chatzar nor a shita for a mavui. So why not? So the Gemara entertained one possibility, but the conclusion was that the Chachamim just simply disallowed it because the Chachamim did not want to have that kind of residence. And so therefore, it was just a way of discouraging that kind of residence.